Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a drive down the right field line. It's hooking to the corner, and it's going to be gone. It just clears over the short wall in the right field corner, and Rafael Marchand has his moment. A three-run home run here in the top of the ninth inning. His second home run of the season. And the Phillies lead it 9-6.
Well, Scott Fransky last night, really awesome Phillies win.
And love that he has his moment thing, too, because that's his signature moment as a Major League Baseball player to date, you know?
And you know what, James? About three people watched it last night.
I know.
I mean, Ray, these 12:30 endings. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
I woke up, before I woke up to see the end, last night I woke up at 12:30, I checked my phone, and it was 6-6 in the ninth, yeah. And I went, if I stay up, because, you know, I was afraid they'd lose when it's 6-6 in the ninth. So I went back to sleep, and then I was very happy at 2:30.
You know what was crazy? 2009, when the Phillies played a playoff game against Colorado that began at 11:40 a.m. because it had a snow delay.
I remember that, yeah.
And it was a playoff game, so everyone had to watch it.
I remember that.
Like, you're living and dying. I think that was the game Ryan Howard had to hit down the right field line,
yeah,
right?
They gave me the plate boys.
Yeah, the game four that closed out the series. And I think it started at 11:40 and ended around 2:30 or something.
Wasn't that when everybody, all the people went out there, none of them had the right clothes? Everybody had to go shopping. I just remember talking to everybody who went out there.
Was it way colder than they expected or
something
like that?
They weren't expecting the snow.
It snowed.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you should be prepared for Colorado in October. I mean, what are we doing?
All right, so Phil's obviously in good shape. You know, we will... And I feel like we've already cranked up Phillies coverage, but we will really crank it up in about 2 weeks when the playoffs begin. You know, they're almost definitely going to get that bye. And their first playoff game, let me look it up here, is going to be Saturday, October the 4th. I'm going to give them, let's say, it's not a bum town. It's not a bum team. So they're not going to get that 12 o'clock game.
Like four?
You know, it's always like in pro football, it's always the AFC South that gets that first freaking playoff game.
Love a Saturday late afternoon Phillies playoff game.
Because it's always those garbage teams, the Texans and all those other horrible teams.
Yep.
Yeah, Phillies will get like a 5.
Fine with me.
A 5:38.
5 works into my schedule.
Oh, that'd be amazing. It'd be mate. Please. Please.
5:38.
But you don't want the shadows. Remember the shadows from
the
last,
shadows were
last
earlier, though. That
season.
Was like the four, whatever.
That was four. Yeah. It's the four or 4:05 games. That's
so I don't remember that. The playoffs last year? I remember game one this year against that freaking Nationals guy.
Well, exactly. And that's why it was so ironic because, like, last postseason against the Mets, when the Phillies didn't do well, it was, you know, the shadows. The shadows were such an issue.
Wow.
And then, like, game one of the season, to open it up, the shadows were an issue again. It,
gotcha.
It's the 4 p.m. start.
That's all right, let's talk to Frank. He's calling from Delaware. What's up, Frank?
Hey, good morning.
Hi, Frank.
Good morning, sir.
How is Delaware?
Where'd you get Delaware from? I'm in Atlantic City Airport.
That's what my phone, that's what my screen says.
What it said when you called up.
Joe's perpetrating.
Are you from Delaware originally?
No, Philly. I went to school at Reyes.
Change the system.
Yeah, we can fix it. So where do you want it from, Frank? Where are you for real? Not just right this second.
Galloway.
Okay. Frank and Galloway.
Yeah.
You went to school with Rhea, you said?
Yeah.
What, same party?
Same class?
Yeah, Rhea. Frank Nadel, yep.
Wow.
Yep. Grade school. Same party. Yeah. Shamrocks.
Yep.
Wow, so you guys like went to recess together?
Probably.
Probably.
No way.
Sure. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So anyway, Joe.
Yes, sir.
I can't agree with you more on both points. Okay, let's pick one. What do you want to start with, Jalen or the Tush Push? I mean, I've been against this play. It's not even a play. But it's the pushing. You're right. The pushing. If you watch the end of that play, these guys, the whoever's in the backfield, the whoever they put back there, the tight end, the other running back or wide receiver, they're not even touched. They're pushing. Yeah. Everyone's doing all this work trying to get to that little gap that the Eagles mastered, plugging up because of all the reasons you guys mentioned. But it's a disadvantage logistically, if you want to use that word, for the defense.
Yes, it is.
I mean, you can't push the defensive back equivalent to where you're pushing the running, the quarterback already has the ball. He's already halfway at the goal or halfway. Sometimes they run this for 2 yards out. It's not 1 yard all the time. It's a yard and a half a lot of times.
Yeah.
I mean, it is about 3 wins a year. I've been saying this all over online. Everyone laughs and says, shut up. It's ugly. I mean, you got the best running back in the game. I mean, when's the last time Jones threw like a 3 yard slant for a touchdown? Like 2 years ago? I mean, it's just, and what are you going to do when it's gone? I mean,
You're going to adjust. You probably won't be as good a team, but they'll have to run different type of plays. That's what they'll have to do.
Exactly. And I think Sirianni, I mean, he loves it. He admits that they practice it more than anybody, okay? But I think he got it thrown out this past week. He ran it so many times showing it off, and I think he did it at the wrong game. The commissioner was there. Hmm. At the end of the game, if you heard the commentator, the referee, who I don't know who he was, he said, I'm going to stick in his push.
Landino.
He ran it into the ground, I think, Sunday.
I think they did it because Goodell was there. I think that they did it.
No, I think he does it. He just used it circumstantial.
A lot of situations.
It was done way more than usual.
Yeah, well, they had more third and ones and fourth and ones than normal. All right, so, Frank, what's the other brilliant point I made that you agree with?
Well, it hurts. I mean, Joe, off the top of your head, name the last best five offenses in the last 20 years. I mean,
I'll go a little further back. So I'll go with, I mean, in my lifetime that I've seen the 49ers, both with Montana and Young, that's two different groups, if you will. Obviously, the Rams in 99-01. Minnesota 98 was really something.
Yeah.
Peyton, look, the Brady team with Moss in 07.
Minnesota 98 was Randall.
The Broncos
right?
team
and the
with
Broncos
Peyton.
With Peyton with 50, yeah. And the Broncos team with 55 touchdowns with Peyton. They would probably be my groups. And then, by the way, the Cowboys were really great. They weren't quite as explosive with the Aikman, Emmett, Irvin thing in the offensive line, but needless to say, they got the job done big time.
Right. So here's the deal. So, and they were all great, right? So yeah. Why? If you got these great receivers, if they're great, right? The duo we have here, if they're so great, which I think they really are, I think Smith could be a lot better. I think he doesn't get used nowhere near as much as he should be. Anyway, those teams never had these kind of issues, I don't think. Like, what's the problem with the receiving game? I can't remember them. I mean, they put up record-breaking numbers these teams.
Yeah.
And this team is like the opposite. Like, this guy's afraid to throw the ball. So, and I want to go back. They won both games by a total of 7 points. Okay, let's not get carried away there. Okay, they won by 3 points the other night. They won by what, 4 against Dallas?
Yeah.
I mean,
but Frank,
you know,
let me give you a pushback because I largely agree with you. But this is an important point to say. He deserves tremendous credit for not turning it over.
Well, right.
And I believe part of why he plays a conservative brand is to avoid the turnover. And clearly. We know that's one of, if not the most important statistical thing that leads to wins or losses. And, you know, we can't just ignore that reality.
You can't. But you're not going to win averaging 125 yards a game past it either. I mean, that's a statistic, too, that you got to see. You know what I mean? Like, who the hell throws for that a little bit of yards? But anyway, I just think that there's no reason. I mean, I don't care who the coordinator is. There could be no coordinator. He's got enough experience passing with these guys with this line.
Yeah.
He should be able to. He should be able to put up 200 yards with no problem. I mean,
all right. Well, Frank, I appreciate the call. It's a good call.
One more thing.
Yeah.
I want to give Mike Crick some props. I wanted to catch him online, but I remember it was like he was underrated. Mike Crick, I remember, was toe to toe with Joe Montana as far as the stat for. I'm sorry, not Montana, for Jerry Rice. For yards, I'm sorry, catch touchdowns per catch. He was right there, toe to toe with him.
Well, Frank, I'll make it real simple. I think now I was young during some of these years in the 80s. Okay, I want to be clear. But I think it is entirely possible that a healthy Mike Quick was the second best wide receiver in the 1980s.
Could have been.
Yeah. You had Art Monk, you had Steve Largent, you had Gary Clark, you had
Al Toon.
You know, pick your guys. The most underrated players in my lifetime in Philly sports, because people like sort of forget a little bit, Mike Quick, Tim Kerr. There are a couple guys that were monsters.
Top of the freaking list,
and
man.
Just, and like their names just don't come up enough.
Quick was up there. Real quick, I know you got to go.
Sure.
they were second as far as the combo, as far as Cunningham to Quick. No one ever talks about that because Quick got hurt again. But he made a catch in the Pro Bowl. I think it was 86 or 87. He was on a post route. He flew in the middle of the field, put the right arm out, pulled it in, landed on his head, landed on his head and shoulder, tumbled about three times, and put the hold the ball in the air. I mean, he had hands like
greatest Pro Bowl catch of all time.
All right, Frank, great call, buddy. Call again as often as you can, especially when you agree with me. Well done.
Oh, look at you. All right, that's just because he's from Barney's. He's a very smart guy.
Let's listen to Ray Dittinger. We had Ray on the show earlier this week, and he assessed what he thinks the biggest issue with the Eagles' offense is, and it relates to Petula. Here's what he said. When he played so well and they played so well in the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl, I was hoping it would be a pathway to improved, consistent offense this year in the passing game. It has not been. Why?
I like to just attribute it to the fact that your guys, your key guys, your quarterback and your top receivers didn't play in the preseason. And to be frank, Brown and Smith didn't even practice all that much. They weren't taking full reps all during training camp. So they're still working it out. There are two wide receivers and your quarterback weren't really working that much in the preseason, and you've got a new offensive coordinator. And so that's a lot of stuff that kind of has to get worked out in the real season. And I think that's part of it. I know there's a lot of people that are really scratching their heads, and some of them openly wondering, oh my God, do we have really problems with the offense? I don't see it. I mean, last week was a struggle against the Cowboys. No question about that. But when I went back and looked at the tape, I mean, one of the things that jumped out at me, I thought, was I just didn't think the offensive line played very well. I mean, when I went back and looked at it again, for a unit that we absolutely think is the best in the league, and you expect it to play at a high, high level every week, the Dallas game was not that. I mean, Lane Johnson made a couple of mistakes, which you never see. Mailata got beat on a couple plays, which you just don't see. The center, Juergens, I thought, really struggled against Clark. And Dickerson's obviously playing through some stuff. I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah.
The guy who played best on the offensive line last week was Steen. and you go back on it and you say, well, why would that be? And I think it's partly because he actually did play some in the preseason. The other guys had not. And so then, people, that makes a difference. I mean, it really does make a difference. I think they're still working through some of this stuff. I mean, the way Nick approaches things. And so I'm not overreacting or not overly worried about any of that stuff.
All right, that was Ray. And by the way, my fault, not Petula. I was getting confused with Orlovsky, and we're going to play that audio in a second. So Ray's main thing is he thinks the guys didn't play enough in August to be ready for the season.
How about his point, though, that
which one?
Steen is the most, he's playing the best of the O-linemen right now because he's played the most of the O-linemen right now.
Yeah, I mean, the line has not looked rock solid. It has not looked rock
it hasn't,
solid.
In
it
either
hasn't
phase of the game,
dominant.
Rushing or passing.
And
a lot of times the problems that you see, especially early, is when ET stunts come, and sometimes it's us. This works against us both ways. When our offense is on the field, and when our defense is on the field, the ET stunts. Where the defensive tackle and the defensive end, they cross.
Sure,
and it's hard for the offensive tackle and the guard to swap that off sometimes. When Jalen Carter was running the ET stunt in the game and he was supposed to be looping outside, he ended up losing contain. When he loops outside in an ET stunt, he has to remember, hey, this is now I got a lot of responsibility. I'm no longer D tackle. I'm now technically a defensive end. I've looped outside.
Yep.
I can't let Patrick Mahomes run outside of me. And when he did, he scored. I think the first touchdown that he scrambled, it was because Jalen Carter lost contain.
So, the thing from Ray is they didn't play enough in August to be ready to be humming offensively. Orlovsky's got a different main opinion. Listen to something Dan Orlovsky said this week on ESPN.
The pass game right now feels very predictable, and that's very specific to A.J. Brown. 10 times yesterday, 10. They had A.J. Brown basically line up at the same spot and run essentially the same route. Now, at times it works because he's A.J. Brown, but there has to become more variance in relation to A.J. Brown's route running and what they do off of it. There's a reality where the defense just knew what he was running.
All right, so predictable is code for the coach has got to improve. I mean, that's code for Petullo and Sirianni got to draw a better place.
Well,
and utilize
Mike them. Quick referenced it. It's
sure
like
did.
The same slant route every single time. Like, there's got to be yes. more variation in there that they can use.
A lot of people are saying that.
There
All
is.
Right, so a lot of different
there's
theories.
Lots.
We'll talk to Jaws, get his sense of what's going on with the Eagles offense. Let's not forget they are 2-0. Let's not forget they're going to win, you know, 11, 12, 13 games, maybe 14. They got a great football team. But obviously, we want to see them clean some stuff up. We'll talk to Jaws more about that. And more up ahead as he joins us next. Getting ready for the Eagles and Rams, by the way. Jaws next, phone calls, plus times yours all ahead on 94WIP. Let me tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook, always in partnership with Valley Forge Casino as they get you ready for kickoff with an offer you will not want to miss. You know, new customers can bet just $5. It's a great deal. Bet $5, and with that $5 bet, get $300 in bonus bets if you win. It's an incredible opportunity, and it's at FanDuel.com/hammer. FanDuel.com/hammer. Bet $5, and if you win, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets. Obviously, you can use it on Philly and L.A. baseball coming up tonight. Philly and L.A. football coming up on Sunday. All the ways to bet, all the sports, all the leagues, all the games, all available for you at FanDuel.com/hammer. Yeah, let's talk some football with our next guest. Love having Jaws on the program, normally Tuesdays, but Jaws today with us on a Wednesday, midweek. A little bit of Eagles-Chiefs, a lot of bit of Eagles-Rams, and the great Ron Jaworski right now. Good morning, Jaws.
Good morning, Joe, and guys, always good to be with you. Thank you very much for adjusting your schedule. I got a busy travel week, and I'm glad we're able to get in here. I love talking to you guys.
For sure. Our pleasure, Jaws. So let's start Tush Push. Look, Jaws, we all know people in and around the NFL, we all have friends, we all talk football, but there's nobody yep. around here, nobody, that knows more people connected to the National Football League than you. I can't imagine how many people you know text you and call you about the Tush Push.
How much time do you have?
Right. So, people are out of their minds with aggravation, obviously. Let's start with this. Are you still with me that you're personally against the Tush Push, even though the Eagles succeed? I know most people around here don't think it and don't say it, but I remain thinking it shouldn't be allowed to be pushed. Where do you personally come down on it?
Well, I originally was against the Tush Push for this reason. It wasn't that I didn't think it was effective play, because yeah. it obviously is.
Yeah.
I was concerned about the safety factor. And I wanted to see maybe a season go by or two seasons go by to see exactly if injuries are being caused by the Tush Push. That was kind of a position the league took as well. They wanted to, before they made a decision on it or put it to a vote, they wanted to let it play out to see if it was a formation. And in fact, we got, you know, 22 guys that jumped on each other. Someone could get hurt. But the studies have shown that it is not hazardous by running the Tush Push. So I kind of wavered in front of, okay, we can do it, try stopping it, and no one can stop it. So I've changed my opinion on it. It's a football play now.
Interesting. Charles, so we were talking earlier, and I had written down five reasons why I think it succeeds with the Eagles and not other teams. And I'm curious which you think is the most important. Hurts' power and instincts, the success of Melotta, Dickerson, and Juergens, both their power and instincts, Stoutland as a coach and teacher, the fact that they've mastered practicing it, which many teams don't even try, and then, of course, the actual push itself, which I might put fifth on the list, which is ironic, but you do get that assist typically from a tight end and a running back. Which do you think is the most important?
All the above. I'm not waffling on
yeah.
it. There are different ways that they run it. There are times when he will sneak over Juergens and the guys and go left or go right. There are times he will bounce to the outside. That's where Jalen becomes the most important guy because of his leg strength. But I think there are different ways they run a Tush Push depending on how the defense lines up. Everyone seems to be trying now to get under the offensive line. That has not worked. It didn't work last year. It's obviously not worked. Didn't work last week. So you'll see something different. We saw the leapers in a playoff game against Washington. Everyone tried to do the leaper. That didn't work. Going low didn't work. Going outside didn't work. And I'll guarantee you, There's a gimmick and there's a gadget coming. I don't know when it'll come this week, but I know they have gimmicks and gadgets off the tush push.
Yeah, for sure.
There's lots of concern from Joe, especially with week two, the offense not looking quite as explosive as.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Any of us hoped, that's for sure. But how worried are you that this is that the offense is not getting chunk plays at this point? We were told that the training camp is not really like we grew accustomed to what it was supposed to be, which is getting guys ready to play football. So now the first month of the regular season, I'm supposed to hold back my judgment to some degree. How much are you able to do that?
Yeah, I am a little concerned about this, the explosive plays. Now, obviously, we got an explosive play to Smitty that kind of sealed the game on a zero coverage blitz. And of course, Jalen made the right read and threw a jump ball, and Smitty came up with the catch. That was a big play. But what kind of concerns me, and when I look at the tape, what are teams doing? What are they doing? Not what I think. What are they doing? So, in effect, what do they think of this offense? What do they think of the concepts? And I was actually, after going through the tape, they blitzed Jalen almost 60% of the time. 60%. I can't research all his career, but I think that might be the most I've seen them blitz Jalen Hurts in a game, any team.
Wow.
And the Chiefs are very creative. You know, Spagnuolo is one of the best in the business of his creativity. It almost shows to me a little disrespect. That yeah. Okay, hey, we're bringing everybody. John, you know, when you bring everybody, those guys on the outside are on an island, and we really didn't take advantage of that. So I think we're going to see more of that. But it's kind of just something to watch, in my opinion, because we didn't beat it enough. They came with more of it. So now it's the receivers, it's the offensive line and pickup, it's the backs and pickup, and it's the quarterback. And you know, quite honestly, I thought Jalen, for the first time I've seen in a while, didn't feel comfortable against the blitzes. There were some open receivers. He had some opportunities to get the ball to AJ. He did not. It just wasn't one of his sharpest games, both mentally and physically.
And a lot of that credit goes to Steve Spagnuolo for throwing all sorts of looks at him.
I agree 100% with that. But your receivers must win, and they must win quick. They must give the quarterback definition because you don't have time when the zero blitz is coming. You don't have time when an unblocked defender is coming. So the wide receiver has to make the adjustment. You can't run 20-yard routes when the guys are running free your quarterback.
So, Jaws, how much of that is the offense was designed in a way that the receivers are still running with their, you know, their head downfield instead of looking for the football when it's a blitz? How much of that is, you know, faultily designed offense? How much of that is the guys in the game making the mistake of not cutting their routes off?
Every offense has built-in side adjust to blitzes. So that's wide receivers. There's always a built-in because the quarterback can't drop back 7 steps, stand there, throw the football, and get 3.1 seconds to throw the football. One, you're getting a zero coverage. So receivers must break off their routes. So you know, it's a combination. I think Jalen's got to see it quicker, and the receivers must make slight adjustments.
Mm-hmm. Ron Jaworski with us here. Joe, let's talk Eagles-Rams a little bit. Great game last year. Are the Rams – okay, you said before the season, Bucs second best in the NFC. Bucs are 2-0, Eagles are 2-0, Rams are 2-0, Packers are 2-0. Are the Packers the bigger threat or the Rams the bigger threat? Or the Bucs the bigger threat?
After watching that Bucs game the other night, golly, what a one of the best 2-minute drives I've ever seen. You know, Baker Mayfield, they're playing good football.
He's pretty good.
It's hard to It's hard to assess after two games. I'd feel more comfortable with like four games and it was playing out like this.
But you think they're the teams? I mean, they're the squads this year to be aware of.
I think their fan base certainly does. Just like we think we're the best team, and I would still hang my hat on the Eagles right now. But this can be a good test. You think of that Rams playoff game last year? They were Jalen Carter sacked away from potentially losing that game. You know, Higbee's running a little stick, not go, going to get the ball around the goal line. He's going to score, and we're going to be behind in the last minute of the game. Jalen Carter makes a sack on Stafford, and all of a sudden, you know, we win the football game. But it was a damn dogfight last year. It's going to be a dogfight. The Rams are a much better team right now. You know, Devontae Adams on that team gives them two big go-to receivers. It's going to be. I'm looking forward to the game. It's going to be a really, really good litmus test of where the Eagles are this season.
So, do we have the DBs to be able to hang with Devontae Adams and Puka Nacua? I mean, essentially, I like our young guys. I like Quinyon. I like I like the guys we brought in recently. But then on the other side of things, with the Dory Jackson, if they somehow get a Dory on Devontae Adams or Puka Nacua, is it all over for us?
Well, it won't be all over, but it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be they're going to have to mask at the fish right now. You know, Dory just hasn't stepped up, and let's be realistic now. The Chiefs were without Rice and Worthy in that game. They had, you know, Juju Schuster-Smith's not going to beat you, and he didn't. But you know, if teams get their number one, number two receivers back through the Chiefs, it's going to be a different ball game. I think the Rams are a lethal team. Matthew Stafford's one of the premier quarterbacks in this game. They're a damn good football team.
Yeah. Ron Jaworski here. They really are.
By the way, I didn't try to answer the question, but this is a young, talented defense. And young is the thing that bothers me. Talented, that's eventually going to come to the forefront. Young players make mistakes, and that's what concerns me. It is a young team. This is going to be a dominant defense. I mean, this team is really, really loaded with talent on the defensive side of the football. I thought Vic did a really good job last week with his blitzes against Patrick Mahomes. He did a really good job, some new designer blitzes that I haven't seen from a Vic Fangio defense since he's been in Philly. So Vic is kind of picking up his tempo with the blitzes as well. But I think this defense can be really good. I hope someone steps to the forefront as far as leadership goes. There's always a guy in defense that every team that has a great defense has one or two guys just step up at big times. I'm not sure who that guy is in this Eagle defense right now. There are guys playing good football, but I don't see that leadership that I think is necessary to repeat as a Super Bowl champion.
What's the biggest challenge for Vic Fangio going up against Sean McVay? You know, Sean McVay being an offensively minded guy, what does Vic Fangio have to confront first and foremost to stop McVay's offense?
He likes to rent space in your mind is a term I like to use. You'll get a lot of formation.
He wants
to force mental mistakes. You know, that's what he wants to do. A lot of motion, a lot of movement, a lot of formation variation. You'll see a lot of garbage, a lot of junk.
Yeah.
You know, and basically, he's running basic plays, but they're masked with, you know, all the window dressing.
See, I do think this comes from the line of thinking, like the Gruden line of thinking. Mm-hmm. Remember, this Sean McVay was, like, trained under John Gruden. And John Gruden used to tell us, he loved plays that start out looking the same and then they end up different. And that really does make it hard for anyone. It makes it hard on both sides of the football when you got stuff that clutters your mind up. I think McVay does it as good as anyone. Like what we're talking about.
Look, he's a great coach.
Here.
I mean,
disguise,
no question. Yeah.
Motion,
he's a great coach.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jaws.
He's got weapons, and he's got weapons now, too. And they can run the football, and their offensive line is better. So
that's the thing. Are they going to run the football? That's the thing. It seems like he tends to go through phases, McVay does, where he'll stick to it, and then he won't. We know that running the ball is important. How good is their run game?
I think it's yet to be determined, but it is a good shot. They've shown they can run the football. But, you know, McVay, like a lot of these designer of offenses, they sometimes just can't stay to the basics. They got to show how good they are. They got to show how creative they are. And it happens to a lot of guys. You know, we mentioned that Tampa game the other night, and I was kind of pleasantly surprised. I saw how Tampa kind of stuck to their running game when they weren't really being a drop for a while, you know, and they stuck with it, and eventually they softened up the defense. So although the running game may not be big in numbers, it certainly sends a message to the defense that you can't disrespect the ability to run the football.
Yeah. Jaws, final thing. Eagles aside,
sure.
biggest NFL storyline so far? We've had 2 weeks. What do you think is rattling through people's minds in the nation the most about football so far?
Yeah, I think number one, probably the Packers look like the best team right now. And after the Micah Parsons trade, I think I see now why the Packers made the deal that they made. They felt they were that one edge pass rusher away, that one really great defensive player away from being a quality football team. Right now, I think they're the best team in the league.
Wow, that's a statement. Jaws, stay well,
my
man.
Long way to go. Long way to go. Sure. I like our birds.
The Eagles were not the best team in the league in week two last year.
They were not. Then again, James, they don't always win 77 games either. In a row. You know, I mean,
Jalen, they do a lot, though.
James holds on to, because it happened last year, it'll happen again.
No. My thing is that we can't judge it in the first month of the season. Let's remember last year when we judged in the first month of the season and ended up looking like idiots because they were the best team we'd ever seen.
Well,
I agree with James.
I've seen better teams.
I'm going to cut that audio.
But they were really good. Hey, Jaws.
So this is what we do. Instant analysis.
I know. I know. Jaws, stay well, my man. We'll talk.
Thanks, Jaws. All right.
Thanks, Jaws.
Thanks, guys.
You got it, buddy. So here I think the top three.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Storylines, I think, across the country so far this year in pro football. And ironically, two of them relate to the Eagles. One, I think, is the Packers thing.
Mm-hmm.
In whatever order. Two, I think, is the Tush Push.
Without a doubt.
And three, I think, is the 0-2 Chiefs.
I think that's probably it.
I think
they're
probably the top three.
And Burrow's injury.
Is a big one.
But he's, you know, I just can't believe you've had a generational quarterback. And you have never built a line to protect them.
It's awful.
It blows my mind.
It's awful.
They're a cheap franchise.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Their first round pick almost went back in the draft this year because of a contract.
Right.
Those things are slotted. It's like you pay the first round pick this month. He almost went back in the draft.
Right. And
like,
part of what makes it, in my opinion, even more egregious, he's not a running quarterback, so he can't protect himself and get away the way, you know, a Hurts can. He's going to be a sitting duck.
The thing is, if he wasn't, he would, like, he is a star.
Oh, he's great.
I love the edge to him. I really do, but he's never going to be a superstar being injured all the time.
Well, he's getting crushed. You don't want to see an Andrew Luck situation.
Well, he's played one less year than Luck, and he's been sacked 15 more times than him.
That's incredible.
Isn't that crazy?
No, that right there is incredible.
By the way, I heard a stat the other day.
Andrew Luck, the guy who retired because he was broken.
Yeah, I know. All right, I got a different stat for you.
Mm-hmm.
A fact.
Ooh.
Heard this the other day. Apparently, it's true. I mean, what do I bother?
Good apparently,
yeah, I mean,
it's
I'm not going to bother
great.
To look this stuff up. You know?
You're regurgitating something you're not sure about.
All right. Usually has me to look it up.
Here we go. I heard that Derrick Henry, who has played like forever in the NFL.
Oh, I heard this too. I think this is true.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Derrick Henry, who has played forever in the NFL, still does not have as many yards rushing in the NFL as he had in high school
football. He's close, apparently. He's about to break it. Yeah, for real. Yeah.
That guy's a freak.
He still has more yards in high school than pro football.
How many did he have in high school?
I think 10,000.
No, I think it was 12 or something like that. It was somewhere in that insane range. Yeah, because I think he's at 11 in the pros.
I mean,
he's pretty high.
That is something. All right, with that said, let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
And it's particularly amazing when you consider you get 16 or 17 NFL games. And he's been in the league for like a decade.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Freaking ridiculous. All right. Twitter poll, not Twitter poll. Time's Yours is brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. The Wi-Fi is booming. Unlock faster, secure speeds at home and on the go, only from Xfinity Mobile. Let's hit it with Time's Yours.
You know, sometimes not all heroes wear capes. They wear backup catcher's gear. This team, Time's Yours.
Wow, look at that. Marshan love. All right.
I can't sit here and give props to Jalen when they win football games in the Super Bowl and puts up pedestrian numbers most of the year last year. And now he's putting up worse numbers. They're still winning. But then they're going to say, what's the problem? It's him. He's not a numbers guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, you guys know my opinion on Hurts, but I get your point.
So I took the advice of the hammer and cut ties with the Cowboys fan. Now I am out on the free market and looking for someone else to go out with, period.
Wow.
Did you tell someone to dump a Cowboys
fan? It was a life advice last week, yeah.
He's really desperate, obviously. He goes to Time's Yours to freaking try to get a date. I mean, dude,
Is that for real? I don't think you're going to get a date through Time's Yours.
Yeah, I don't know if that's for real or not. I don't know how to react.
Was like, that the same guy, James?
I assume so. So the guy was Jason in Swedesboro. He calls the station. Yeah. It sounded like him. I would assume that's Jason.
All right, well, here's my advice to you. Walk into a bar.
Joe, I think you'll miss the mark on why teams don't run the tush-push. I think it's their pride. I think it's coaches. They don't like it. They don't think it's a football play, so they just don't want to do it. The tush-push is not a rugby play. It's not like a rugby play. Jordan Mailata has said as much. Can we just put that to rest?
It probably could
be. It's a possible thing. Real quick, on the tush-push, did that hurt? Losing Jaws, too. You've lost Ray. You've lost Jaws. You're like on, Rhea said, on a stone. She's right. You're like on a stone in the middle of the ocean all by yourself.
Anymore. It surprised me.
You know what you are? Yeah. You're on Island Avenue in Southwest Florida. Island Avenue. Where I grew up.
All right. And with that, Time's Yours. We shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
All right, Twitter poll question brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Make sure you do more and get more in a 2026 Armin Chevy Trailblazer starting at only $24,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at armandchevy.com. Poll question. John, which one the poll? Biggest issue with the Eagles offense is? The choices were, in alphabetical order, Hurts, Petullo, limited training camp, or something else?
I'm going to say limited training camp wins.
It is. And look, it might be. I mean, it certainly might be. 41% say that. I would have voted for Hurts, but we do know the limited training camp creates, you know, creates
sluggishness. What was the Hurts percentage?
Hurts was 13%.
Wow. Good.
So what was second?
Second is Petullo.
Okay.
How much?
34.
Wow.
People got to open their eyes
up. Nice, Jalen Hurts. Not taking blame.
Something else is 12%. What would something else be? O-line hasn't been as good. Let me ask you, John, you this. As a running back, all jokes aside, as a running back.
Thank you for saying as a running back.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I mean, that really does.
No, I know. Yeah, in high school football. How can you tell,
running back,
like, the Saquon thing, if he's diminished based on last year?
He's not.
He's not.
You feel confident?
Yep. Okay. I am confident.
How would you tell if we're 6 or 7 weeks into when it's, how would you tell? I'm just wondering.
Well, I guess I think you'll be saying things like, hey, he looks a little bit like doesn't have that burst. Hey, wait, last year we would have seen him take that to the house. Why did he get caught? Why are they taking angles from him?
He's still making an impact.
Devin, I'm not dogging him in any way. He may be just as great. I'm just saying we knew coming in he might be diminished based on last year.
He's not diminished. He's going to blow everyone's doors off. As soon as you give him a crack, he will be gone 85 yards hitting his head on the goalpost.
I think you're right. Just wait and see.
I think it is directly related to, obviously, the offensive line hasn't been great. And like they've even said, you know, we're like a block away from Saquon taking off. So. I don't think it's Saquon.
It's just, here's what's odd. You would think if the receivers aren't doing much, that he would be going crazy. And he hasn't. That's what's a little odd about it.
No.
All right. What do we got? We got a word of prize here. For the best fictional war character ever in a movie, show, or book, what wasn't said today?
Well, that's a good question.
I mean, the Red Badge of Courage guy was brutal.
None of the Saving Private Ryan characters. Like, Tom Hanks, he's amazing in that movie. Like, that's a great character. The teacher, that's a great character.
What about the battle for the Galactic Republic?
Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
That's a
like general. General, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you should be banned Leia? From mentioning that.
Obi-Wan. I'd say Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan, sure. Oh, yeah. Obi-Wan. You can say Yoda. Sure. Yoda was involved in the Clone
Yoda.
Wars.
Can you Yoda. Imagine Thanos. Yoda?
Yoda could have won. Yoda could have won.
All right.
Front
so,
lines. Pew, pew. Jumping over people.
This guy. Of what was said.
Rambo, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not going to be Zorro. What about the Deer Hunter character?
That's a great answer.
That's a big answer.
But I still think it's Rambo. Rambo's Rambo.
Rhea?
Rambo. I'll go Rambo.
All right. Rambo. Look, Rambo's great. Deer Hunter, though. Deer Hunter. All
right. Deer Hunter's a tough watch.
You ain't kidding.
I mean, it is. I've watched it one time, and it was one of the most amazing movies I've ever seen. I couldn't watch it
It's not a Saturday morning cartoon.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Congratulations to JB. JB, you have won my book, and you have also won the Adam Sandler tickets. We hope you enjoy both. The book is available on Amazon.com. Hope you guys got a chance to get it at some point. $22, Amazon.com. All right. Have a great rest of the day. Hey, Kelsey, tomorrow. Jason Kelsey in studio for an hour and everything else we're talking about. And the Phils are closing in on the 2 seed. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Joe and Hugh are up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.